Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is your morning show host, Julie Calamine, and so happy to be joining the KRFY listeners this morning. We're having a really interesting interview this morning. It's going to be the Idaho Master Naturalists. I'm about to introduce our two guests, but first, a bit of weather. And it is looking like spring, Idahoans and Sandpointians. Today, we're looking for some partly sunny sky, high of 40, and a little bit of wind. Boy, is this turning into skiing weather. It cools down at night still, low of 22, chance of snow. And it's looking a little bit the same throughout the week. We've got highs in the upper 30s, lows in the middle and lower 20s. I think it's skiing weather. And everything else. Spring is getting ready to spring out. I'm seeing little plant nubs showing up, even though it seems early, and the sun is getting stronger every day. And on that note, it's time to introduce some people who spend a lot of time noticing these things and thinking about weather and plants and science and everything else. So I'm here to introduce the Idaho Master Naturalists. And with us today, we have Pat Myers. Pat, you're the current president. Hello.
Hello, nice to see you.
Yes, and Perky Hagedone. And Perky, you are the volunteer coordinator, the chair of volunteers.
Yes, I am. Yeah. I'm glad to be here today.
So great to have you both. Well, as we do on the morning show, we like to learn a little bit about you before we launch into the interview. So, Pat, why don't you start and tell us a bit about your background, how you got involved with the Master Naturalists?
Well, I was born in Newport, near here, and lived in Coeur d'Alene and Sandpoint in my early years. Ended up spending most of my career in the oil and gas business in Houston, Texas. But in the mid-90s, my wife and I had bought property up here at Sandpoint to retire, purpose of retirement, and I finally got to do that in 2016. And I went to a kokanee spawning event that the Idaho Master Naturalists were hosting on Trestle Creek in the fall of 2017, and that kind of hooked me to join the organization, and I joined the class for the following year in 2018, and I've been the education chairperson for 4 years, and this year I'm president.
Wow, so everyone moves up to president eventually, don't they? It's the cross that everyone bears in the volunteer world.
Yeah, some people avoid that, but it's on the path if you want to do it, yes.
That's right. Well, Perky, I don't think we've spoken before, so I'm interested in learning about how you came to be in Sandpoint and how you got involved with the Master Naturalists.
Well, when I was in my early 20s, I was working over in Chelan picking apples, and a friend said, "You have got to move to this place called Sandpoint. We have a log cabin, $25 a month rent, and we're leaving. So come on over." So we drove over, and that was in 1978, and I've been here ever since. I've raised two wonderful sons, and I've just adored everything about Sandpoint, and mainly the natural beauty of this place. So when I retired recently from being a principal at Northside Elementary in the LPOSD, I've been hunting around looking for something to be involved in, and I'm very much a conservationist, so when I heard about the Idaho Master Naturalist, it seemed like a natural fit, and so I started coming, and as is, when you start an organization, you eventually become some sort of chair member. So now I'm the volunteer coordinator, really excited about it.
Well, that's a kind of a big job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we are looking for more people who need volunteers, so I'm just going to plug that right now.
Yes, always. This community always needs volunteers because we have so many nonprofits, but the Master Naturalist is such a varied and interesting one. And that leads me into the question of really what and who are Idaho Master Naturalists? Tell us about that.
Well, the ultimate goal is that it's a group of well-informed volunteers who actively work towards the stewardship of the area in which they live. And, you know, mainly Bonner County, but we'll also anywhere in Idaho. We sneak into Montana a little bit, because the watershed feeds the Lake Pendere. And it can be anybody. We welcome anybody to this organization. It's people who love nature and people who are interested in learning anything about nature because of the extensive class list that we have that Pat's going to talk about. You can learn about just about anything. People interested in recreation, bird watching, hunting, fishing, any of that. And they can volunteer at nature centers. We help with children's programs, and I'll get into a little bit more of that later.
It sounds to me like the sky is pretty much the limit. If you have an interest in some area of nature, it can be applied in the Master Naturalist program.
Yeah, just about anything. Years ago, they worked extensively on the Clark Park Restoration Project, which was very exciting.
Yeah, I've watched that come along. That's a very interesting project. Mm-hmm. It really is. Well, all right. So I was going to ask what are the main areas of focus, but I think there would be so many. But I do have in parentheses something that we talk about, programs, education, citizen science. Let's talk a bit about that.
Okay. The programs we have lined up this year, and in the last several years we've had a variety of classes similar to this. We'll have four classes on large mammals. We've got about half a dozen classes and field trips on plants, whether they're a plant walk, tree identification, mushrooms, things like that. We have some geology and ice age floods classes and field trips lined up, three of those. About seven classes on water systems and watersheds, including field trips. We have four classes on bats and birds, a couple on fisheries. So we have an aquatic entomology class that we have not had before. That'll be coming up this year. And we have several other classes that are related to who is a naturalist and what's it all about. And the other thing I want to mention is that in addition to the classes that we've organized, we have probably an equal number or more classes that other organizations do that we put on our class schedule where people can get their education credit. And so we partner with so many other organizations to do that. And the largest of those is going to be the U of I Extension Forestry Group in the Panhandle that does a lot of classes for just how to take care of a forest. And we can go into details if you prefer. So,
I started just recently, and one thing that I noticed is we don't really have like monthly meetings. It's not organized monthly meetings. So the field trips for me were the highlight because you get to get out in nature. We went to Round Lake and learned about all the plants from Derek. How do you say his
name? Antonelli.
Antonelli. It was amazing. Took 5 hours to walk Round Lake. Because we stopped every few feet. But that's where you get to know and bond with the other people in the organization. They're some of my favorites. I started during COVID, so we did a lot of Zoom. But the field trips, we could go out with our mask on, and that's how I got to know people.
I'm just going to comment first. What a nice way to avoid meetings, getting out learning things and getting to know your membership.
Yeah, one thing to add, most of the field trips are preceded by a classroom event to kind of give the background of whatever they're talking about. For example, Derek Antonelli, who's a great botanist living in Rathdrum, and he's actually the president of the Calypso chapter of the Native Plant Society down in Kootenai County. And he does a lot of tours and talks about plants before we go out and do the field trips with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So I have to back up for just a little moment and ask, a person who might want to be a master naturalist, do they need any kind of scientific background? I imagine it would be helpful.
No, not at all. Anybody who has an interest in joining can join. If they want to be a good steward of nature, then just let us know. We can contact us at imn.sandpoint@gmail.com. Which first classes start on March 17th.
That's soon. People better be getting online.
And what I really appreciated as well is you need 40 hours of education time. And so that's how you start learning. And so you don't have to be knowledgeable about anything.
On the job training.
That's right. Yeah. That's
neat. I'm just noticing Pat was kind enough to provide me the summary of your classes, and you've gone through some of them, but they're just run the range from A to Z. I mean, ornithology, indigenous wisdom, river restoration, we've talked about that, the kokanee spawning program, the Naturalist on Duty, which I know you help with out at the Waterlife Center. I mean, there's so many. At North Idaho after the glaciers and floods, it's geology. It just goes on and on. Birds of Prey. I mean, there isn't a class here that doesn't sound like it would be just anything but fascinating.
We'll sign you up, Julie.
That happens every time we talk. You ask me to, and I haven't signed up yet, but it's got to go on my to-do list in this life. Mountain goats, that looks interesting.
Well, that's a great one.
Yeah. So this program can't be free, can it?
No. But for a mere $65 the first year, you get an active membership, and then every year after that, you pay a dues of $15.
That's almost free.
That's almost free.
Pretty darn close.
And they provide you with a hat, a name tag.
Composition book.
Composition book that I'm filled up. And you fill up a lot of books because 40 hours of education, you know, that's significant.
And tell me about the process of getting those 40 hours. Does it have to happen within a certain time frame?
It's just in the calendar year. We actually inform people who expressed interest in joining us this year. You know, our first classes don't start until March 17th, but there are classes by the other organizations on our detailed schedule. We have probably 15 classes prior to that that are during the calendar year that we told them that if they want to sign up for U of I extension class, for example, that gives them education credit before they even join us officially.
That is great. Yeah, I'm looking at the page 2, which are classes and trips offered by the other organization, and you've mentioned some of them, but 10 Acres and a Dream, that sounds pretty fun. Forestry Short Course. Oh, the City Nature Challenge, which is such a great opportunity for people to know their own environment intimately. Everything is great. Summer plant walks. Wow. Yeah, amazing. All right. So once you've made the commitment, you've paid your small dues, and you've gotten through your coursework, what is the commitment then? What happens afterwards?
Do you want to go?
Well, your coursework takes all year. So you're constantly looking for things of interest, taking them, which it sounds like a lot of hours, but it goes really quickly because everything's so interesting. And within that time, then you do volunteer work. But one thing, I'm not sure we mentioned, did we mention we were under the Idaho Fish and Game?
Not yet. No, they're,
what we do is each time you take a class on their website, although I think they're revamping that, we log our hours and then we log our volunteer hours. And so intermingled between the classes, there's opportunities to volunteer. And that, again, takes the entire year. You have the entire year to do that.
In subsequent years after the first year, you need only 8 hours of education along with your 40 hours of volunteering to remain certified, as we say it. And if you certify, then you get a pin or a certificate for those years.
All right. But it's nice to hear that you don't just take your 40 hours and then that's it. Right, ongoing education.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Yes.
Well, what are some of the fun volunteer opportunities you all have experienced?
That I've experienced? I didn't think about that one.
I'll start. I delivered small fish from the Cabinet Gorge Fish Hatchery to the Samuels store area where the Upper Pack River meets 95 to a group of people who were taking fish to Upper Mountain Lakes by horseback.
Oh,
they were in bags and put them in saddlebags and carried them up to the lakes on horseback because they Fish and Game will stock the mountain lakes, but they can't get to all of them by truck. And I also picked up some kokanee eggs from the airport. They were flown up from McCall and took them to the fish hatchery. So,
wow.
Mm.
That's some fun stuff.
Very fun. And every year, one thing we do to help further education is out at Lakeshore Drive. There's the Waterlife Discovery Center. And in the summer months, they asked for a group of, two master naturalists to man the facility while it's open. And that is super fun. We have, every time I've gone, there's been about 21 people that come in. And if you haven't been to the Waterlife Discovery Center, it's pretty cool. It has a nature walk. It has a fish viewing area. There's a big pond where they keep the stocked with trout. What kind?
I forget.
Rainbow trout. Mm-hmm. And you can feed them, which is super exciting. You throw food in there and they just go crazy. The inside of the Waterlife Discovery Center has lots of natural educational hands-on. There's skulls and feathers and feet print and all kinds of cool stuff. And so our job for 4 hours, I think it's 4 hours every day, that they're open, and the hours will be out soon. I just loved it. We had one little girl come, and she had a huge binoculars. I mean, she was 12. She was kind of slight, and she had a backpack, and she was just like into birds. And she'd come from Coeur d'Alene with her grandma. Oh my gosh, because I'm a birder, we just went crazy. It was super fun. And everybody that comes is really excited to be there, and so it makes it super enjoyable.
Oh, that's a nice way for Master Naturalists to really use the information they've
mm-hmm.
learned.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And if you take the entomology class, maybe you'll know a thing or two about the bugs in the water there for the
right.
trout.
Yeah, one other thing to add is that in May every year, there's a two-day event called the Ponderay Water Festival for the Bonner County fifth graders. And a lot of our members volunteer for that. The person in charge of that is Gail Boland, who's one of our members, and I know you know Gail. She's a member of Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society as well. So she's brought a lot of us along to help out on that event. So that's one of the things we block out. We don't do other classes those days because we want to make sure that our people are available to go help out at the water festival.
Yeah, lots of kids coming through. It's a pretty carefully planned event.
Yeah, it's being an educator with the fifth graders. It's for the fifth graders, and they have the most amazing centers that the kids cycle through. And they get lots of locals to be instructors, and it's super fun.
That's really great. We're going to talk more about how volunteering works here with Idaho Master Naturalists. But before that, we'll take a short song break, and then we'll be back and cover even more about the Master Naturalists. For those of you who are just joining us, this is KRFY, community-supported radio for the Idaho Panhandle. And we are talking this morning with the Idaho Master Naturalists, and we're lucky to have Pat Myers, who is the current president, and Perky Hagedone, volunteer coordinator. Well, I couldn't resist this song, folks. We started to hear it in the intro, but now we've got Aretha Franklin's version of it. And it is, "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman." And that was "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman," this time by Aretha Franklin. This is KRFY, community radio for the Idaho Panhandle. I'm Julie Calamine, here for the KRFY Morning Show. It's Wednesday. You normally hear me on a Tuesday, but I had to jump in because we were given the opportunity to talk with the Idaho Master Naturalists, and I wanted that interview. So here I am, joined today by Pat Myers and Perky Hagedone. Hello again, guys.
Hey.
Hi. I think we'd like to talk a bit more about how volunteering happens and how folks get into that and your work with that, Perky. What does that look like for you?
So 40 hours every year, and you have the entire year to earn them. We provide volunteer activities for people to help with our local environment. So, Pat, you want to talk about the license plate?
Right.
This was one that just happened.
Yeah, we were notified by one of the fish and game people from the Lewiston office. He's got a statewide program to try to figure out why people purchase their wildlife license plates, the elk, the fish, and the bluebird. And so we created some flyers, passed them around to people around the state, and was looking for a lot of volunteers to go to grocery stores only. The managers of the grocery stores had to pre-approve that the people could walk around their parking lots and put flyers on the windows. And on the back of the card was just a link and a QR code to go to a survey that, you know, it takes about a minute to 3 minutes to complete. And there was a lot of funding from those, the extra money that's paid for those plates instead of the standard red, white, and blue plate that goes to conservation programs. So they just wanted to kind of get a feel for why people bought the plates and if they knew about the conservation efforts that are underway from those.
Was any information coming out of it that you learned about? Have you learned anything?
I haven't seen the results. I did see a report, I think yesterday, that they've gotten back pretty close to the number he was looking for. He wanted to get 500 surveys returned. And he had 400 and something already. And we're supposed to place the flyers up through the 12th so that all the responses could be returned by the 15th, because that's when they're going to tally up everything. But I haven't seen the results about what the survey results are coming in. That'll come out after the 15th.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. I was putting a card on a car in Safeway, and they saw me doing it. And at first, you know, they were like, what are you doing to my car? And the minute I, you know, told them a little bit about it, they were all over it. So it was pretty fun to see people's interest in our wildlife. Well, we have lots and lots and lots of volunteer. I won't go through all of them.
Well, you can go through a few of them. Yes. It'd be interesting to know what the opportunities are, and I think the listeners would like to know, too.
So this is a really cool program that the Idaho Fish and Game puts forth, and it's called Take Me Fishing. And they actually organize 15 field trips for kids. And they're at Round Lake, Spirit Lake, Hauser Lake, Hayden Lake, Jean Park Pond, never heard of it. I don't know how to pronounce this lake. Chatcolet Lake and Post Falls Park.
All
Pond.
Up in the area. So yeah. Really, in our area.
And they're going to be in May. And what they're doing is asking for volunteers to come help, you know, teach kids fishing, fish ID. Very unstressful. And I've gotten already a lot of volunteers for that, but we need more. So we're really looking for more people that are interested in helping kids fish.
Well, you are in luck, because tonight I'm attending the annual meeting of Trout Unlimited. And so I'll just pass that info along and see if we can gain you a few more volunteers for that.
Yeah, it's really fun to work with the kids. We had a big fishing event out at the Waterlife Discovery Center last year, and it was packed. There were so many people. We also organized 3 field trips for third graders, and that's happening in May as well. And they're going to focus on fisheries. These are their centers: fisheries, water quality, aquatic macro invertebrates, and the wetland walk that there is there at the Waterlife Discovery Center. And we look for people who are willing to teach those, or people who are willing to be helpers. And we already have a good list of people wanting to do that, but we always need more volunteers. So we're looking for more for that. And that is really fun to work with the littles on those types of things. And then Pat already mentioned the Water Life, the Water Festival at Riley Creek, and that's been going on for how long?
I don't know, a long, long time. Yeah.
Probably, I would say at least 12 years. And it's spectacular. I mean, they have it organized down to a T, and that's super fun to volunteer for. I already mentioned the working at the Waterlife Discovery Center. And then I started a few new projects. Being an educator, the Idaho Fish and Game used to have these giant trunks that were full of artifacts and posters and books and footprints and pelts about Idaho animals. And they did it for years, and I used to check them out, and the kids would flip because they could touch and pet the pelts, and I loved it. But eventually, because of lack of probably personnel to keep them inventoried, they kind of stopped doing it. And so I remembered that, and we talked about it, and Idaho Fish and Game is thrilled. So I have a committee started to reclaim those. We're waiting to get them. And then, so I'm looking for some volunteers to help.
Wow, and get the suitcases refilled with interesting animals and artifacts, et cetera. That does sound like a fun volunteer opportunity.
I know. So I'm looking, we'll be looking for skulls and feathers and feet prints and feet. And my son and I used to collect feet, but that's another story. And and then one that, there's so many. Should I keep going?
Yes, please do. We have time.
We work with the Lower Clark Fork Watershed Group to plant white pines. It's in Montana, but it will help our watershed. And historically, white pines were gigantic. They were huge, beautiful trees. And over time, we've lost all the ancient forests. So Britta Olson started the project through a grant. And that was another really fun thing I volunteered for last year. But it's still ongoing. So we're going to be looking for volunteers for that. And then one I'm particularly excited about, I've named it Monarch Butterfly Corridor. It's called the LPOSD Monarch Butterfly Corridor Project in cooperation with the Idaho Master Naturalists. And I've been working with the district administration. I've had lots of meetings. I've worked with Northside Elementary that is, we're working through the planning because it's kind of build as you go. And the reason we're doing it is the monarch butterfly is endangered, and it has two areas. There's the eastern monarch butterfly, and then there's the western. And the eastern is doing better, not great, but it's because there's been a push to plant milkweed in the east, and there's all these, they call them monarch way stations. And so if you plant a 10 by 10 foot square patch of milkweed, then you become a way station. And the reason why we need these is the monarch butterfly caterpillar. It's the only thing they eat. And over time, milkweed has been considered a weed, but it's actually a native flower, and there's 100 varieties of them. They just have an unfortunate name. And they have that name, I believe, because they have a toxicity to them that animals don't like and sometimes can make them sick. So, but development, ranching, not to blame, but, you know, just people in general.
All the herbicides and everything have wiped out a lot of milkweed.
So there's a big push to help the monarchs on the western side now, because there's only 1% of the original monarch butterflies.
You know, it's interesting. When I moved here, I expected to see a monarch once in a while. I've never seen one.
Seen one here. Mm-mm. A lot of people think they see them. There's one that's similar called a California that looks a little bit like a monarch. But so the idea is it's going to be free to the district. And when I was a principal, we had organic gardens at all the schools, thanks to Michelle Dufray. Hi there. And she was a huge push on getting the garden started. And so I thought it's a perfect spot for milkweed. It won't spread, which people, you know, some people don't like. And we would provide the milkweed. We have a field trip to go dig up some milkweed rhizomes that are going to be developed. And so then we'd provide that. With the help of the gardeners, and then they just put it in the plot. The biggest requirement, and we can't help with that, is they need to be watered.
Ah.
So it was a lot like the Northside Garden has an automatic watering system. So it was an easy fix. But I presented it to all the principals, and I'm waiting to hear if, you know, what sort of interest there might be. But I'm working in conjunction with the Kinnikinick Native Plant Society, because we also have another committee trying to promote the planting of milkweed everywhere in Sandpoint so that we can really help our monarchs, because they used to be here. They used to go all the way up into British Columbia.
Yeah, wouldn't it be amazing if we could see a revival of monarchs? And what a great conservation project for those elementary school kids.
I know.
The garden is so great. The school gardens, they learn about where their food comes from, and if they could learn how important it is to save our pollinators.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has so many avenues, because the teachers that I worked with, oh my gosh, they were always already talking about a butterfly unit and the, you know.
Right.
And I think it's going to be amazing.
That's an exciting one. I would think you would get volunteers for that. Sounds fun.
Well, the first garden committee I worked with, they were going home and planting as soon as the ground thaws, planting milkweed in their yards.
All right.
At home. So that was pretty exciting.
Well, that's a pretty high point, but are there one or two more volunteer opportunities you would like to share?
Yes. This one's going to happen next year, and I'm super excited about it. It's called The Trout in the Classroom. And way back when my sons were young, they're 40 and 43 now, they went to Segal, and we had one of the first fish tanks at Segal, thanks to Grant Hillen. And I think it was Grant Hillen. So what it is they're provided with a tank, and then they put the Fish and Game puts kokanee fry in them. And then the teachers, there's a whole educational system that goes behind so the teachers can teach kids about the fish and their life cycle. And then it ends in a field trip where they release them into our lake. And it is, we had one out at Northside, and there's one I know at Segal still. It's
for sure. I see it because our little pickleball group plays there, and I've watched those fish grow. It's fascinating.
So think how long that's been going if my kids are 40.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a very well loved. So our job would be to, we have to be trained, and they've already been delivered. So this is for next year. So it would be around probably December, maybe. We'd be trained, and then we would take the eggs out. The Idaho Master Naturalist volunteers would take the eggs out, and then they would help train the teachers. And then the idea is that we would be on call if there's a issue, and then we could translate it to Idaho Fish and Game. But I think it's a pretty, self-sustained system that does really well. And it's been proven over the years that it works super well.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's a really fun one. We also make birdhouses. Cedar birdhouses, super fun. Mm-hmm. And we sell them for $10 a piece, which is a screaming deal.
And a shout out to Laura Forsberg, who always gets me to buy four or five every year. She's really on it as a master naturalist. Very good, Laura.
Yeah, and she's really helpful with the fishing.
I bet.
She's a fisherwoman. Let's see, what else? I'm working on Adopt a Highway program to help with our litter problem. And we also have an opportunity to work with the Idaho Conservation League on their water quality monitoring.
Oh, nice.
As well. Yeah, so we have lots for people to do.
That is a lot. There is sort of no category that goes untouched with you all. So if a person has any interest, they will find something to volunteer for.
Right. And I just plug one more time, if you're an organization that needs assistance with something to do with conservation, we would love to hear from you.
Yes, more opportunities for volunteering. It's nice to have a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as we start to close this interview, I think it would make sense to summarize sort of the basics. Pat, maybe you can do that for us. Let folks know how they can get involved, contact, when things need to start, et cetera. Let's have that summarized.
Okay, thank you, Julie. Again, you can contact us by sending an email to imn.sandpoint@gmail.com if you're interested in joining. And Amanda Flynnstock, who's our education chairperson, will get in touch with you with information about the program. We have our classes at almost all classes except for field trips will be at the Wildlife Discovery Center, which is 1591 Lakeshore Drive in Segal. We've had, if you forget about this or don't get to see the replay of this later, you can look at Sandpoint Online, and there's an entry there for the classes that start on the 17th of March. We also just had an article in the co-op paper that came out this week with information about how to join. One of the things that Perky mentioned was the fly fishing event. We, in our opening weekend, when we start doing service in the summer for NOD duty, we had the last year, the first time we're going to do it again this year, is a youth fly fishing event at the Wildlife Discovery Center. That was lots of fun.
All right.
Trout Unlimited and North 40 helped with that.
Well, I'll mention that at the meeting again, that you're looking forward to having help from the Trout Unlimited folks for that. That's great.
Thank you.
And let's see, anything else people need to know? Not really, just that they don't have to be scientists. Right. You're encouraged to have extra volunteers, and it's an exciting experience with education and volunteering. Well, all right. Oh, one more thing.
Yeah, one thing. We have about 25 partnering organizations who help us out with education, teaching our classes. There's some federal USGS, Fish and Game, of course. They do not only their sponsor, but they teach a lot of classes. IGS did some geology for us last year. Trident Limited, Lakes Commission, lots of them. U of I Extension, I mentioned before. So we're really fortunate to have so many other organizations in the area who are willing to help us out.
Really great. Well, I think that's about it, folks. So with that, I'm going to conclude this really fascinating interview that we've had with the Idaho Master Naturalist. We've been lucky to be joined by Pat Myers and Perky Hagedone. I want to thank you both for joining us today. It's been a great interview.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Julie.
You're most welcome. All right. Well, we've got to have another song that has the word naturally in it. So here goes. It's the Beatles, Act Naturally.